Our gospel lesson this morning comes from Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. It doesn't matter what year it is. It doesn't matter what year in the lectionary, A, B, or C. We always begin Lent with some version of the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. And this year, we will be reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Here, listen to see if you can hear the difference between how Jesus handled his temptation and how Adam and Eve handled theirs. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him up to the holy city and placed him on a pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. What a stark contrast we have between the Old and New Testament lessons today. In the Old Testament reading, we are in paradise where everything is perfect. There, we, humanity, had everything we needed, all of the food we could ever eat, all of the beautiful water, all of it in the presence of God, unsullied by human sin. And we have that tree. There's that one tree and the fruit and that serpent. As a result of what happened in that garden, we are thrown out into the wilderness. Humanity trusted the wrong voice in the garden, the voice of the seducer and the tempter, and we were cast out. In the New Testament, we have the wilderness as well, but there is no food, there is no safety, there is no tree, there is no fruit, there is no water, but the tempter is back. In the Old Testament, we had everything we could ever want or need, and we blew it. Instead of trying to hold on to what we had, instead of listening to the voice of God and following that one little rule of don't eat from that particular tree, we trusted the serpent and we fell. We lost our trust in God's word and we lost paradise. We lost our relationship with God as it existed, and things would never be the same. Thankfully, however, God does not let us rest in those terrible moments in the Old Testament, and there is good news. The good news is when Jesus faced his temptation in the wilderness, he did not fall. He does much better than Adam and Eve. Jesus heard the voice of the tempter and did not trust it. To the end, in each circumstance, Jesus trusted in his God and would not follow Satan's voice or fall for his lies. Jesus did not lose trust as Adam and Eve did. He holds and trusts in God's promises and God's call, not in his own desires or in his own false reasoning. He strips down his life to nothing except the words of God in the wilderness and ultimately triumphs over temptations. One would think that life and faith would work differently. It seems like we would be more likely to find our faith when life is good and we have everything we want or we need, but it doesn't always play true. Usually when we have all that we want or all that we need, we find ourselves lulled into a false sense of security. We can handle our lives. We are in control. We are capable of handling every little thing and have very little need for God in our lives or God's dramatic intervention. In our lives, we become like Adam and Eve. We start to think about one little thing that we don't have and go after it to pursue it, even when it is against God's will. We think self-sufficiency and security is the ultimate life goal. If we have those things, then we are obviously doing everything right, and we don't need to seek out greater wisdom or deepen our faith. At least, that's what we convince ourselves. Jesus, however, approached his faith very differently. He was willing to leave the safety of his community to seek out the way that God would have him go. He left all that was safe and secure and walked into the wilderness to search for something. Perhaps answers to his own questions, perhaps just to pass this test, maybe to find clarity. Whatever he went looking for, he came out ready to begin his ministry to which God had called him. There was no doubt, when all of this was over, in whom Jesus would put his trust. Now, I would imagine most of us here in this room have never entered the faith wilderness willingly. Some of us go through life hoping that God ignores us, just doesn't notice us, doesn't ask for any great sacrifice, doesn't ask for any great confrontation with faith or temptation. Why go looking for spiritual trouble when chances are it'll come your way anyway? So very rarely do we ever strip down our lives to the point where we have nothing and enter into some kind of wilderness just so we can find a closer relationship with God. There is a wonderful writer named Barbara Brown Taylor who did just that, and we can read about her experience, so maybe we don't have to go through that pain and suffering ourselves. Or we can listen to her story and think there's something to it, and perhaps this is a way we should all consider. Barbara Brown Taylor is a wonderful writer and speaker, and for many years she was an Episcopal priest, but now she works as a college professor. In her book, Leaving Church, she describes her own time in the wilderness and the things that she discovered while she was there, which gave her a renewed sense of call and redefined how she would live out her discipleship. According to Taylor, a wilderness is only a wilderness when there is a threat of death. You have to understand when you go into the wilderness that there are powers around you that can do a great deal of harm to you and over which you have no control. She writes, true wilderness living involves the uncertainty that everything will be okay. You can prepare for the wilderness, but you cannot always predict what will happen while you're in it. We leave the safety of what we know when we walk into a place where we hope to be challenged and have to think in a new way to solve problems we don't meet every day. In her book, Leaving Church, Barbara Brown Taylor talks about her time in the wilderness as she decided to give up parish ministry as her vocation. She writes, she found she could no longer keep the Sabbath because she was constantly working. There was always a need to meet, one more meeting to schedule, someone who needed her advice, her help, or her time. She could no longer be a priest because she no longer had the energy to connect to her God, let alone to her parishioners. Her journey into the wilderness came in small, small steps. Everything she had ever known had been church. Everything she had ever wanted had been church. She found herself there. She found her family there. She found her friends. Her whole world was focused on how to get from one Sunday to the next as pastor, as teacher, as servant, as disciple. And so whenever she took those first steps away from the church, they were quite small and calculated. She says, first, she left the comfort of Mother Church, the warmth and safety of the glow of stained glass windows, friendly faces, the liturgy and hymns, and she moved out into the churchyard. All of the things that had given her purpose and safety and security, she left inside and moved out into the churchyard. She said for a while she felt like she was looking in the windows, watching a happy family inside, knowing she really didn't belong there anymore. She writes, she felt like she was out in the yard with the spiritual equivalent of a can of cold beans while everyone else inside was sharing a great banquet. From there, she moved from the churchyard to a place completely off the map, into her own spiritual wilderness, uncharted territory away from the sheltering wings of the mother hen who had kept her safe and warm. There was no longer a congregation hovering around her or insulating her. She no longer had a plan how to get from one Sunday to the next. She was willing to let go of it all in order to find God and herself again. She was willing to risk everything to make sure she understood how and what to serve. She desperately needed to hear God's voice again. Wilderness time for Taylor became much more about trust than it did about certainty. She recognized that she had to come to a place where she could trust God without knowing the ultimate outcome of her adventure. She trusted that God would follow her where she went, even when it was outside of the mainstream, outside of the churchyard, outside the bounds of a map, even in the wilderness. Taylor said she'd been willing to lose everything, to risk it all in order to find what she could hold on to. She had to find out the difference between what was real and what was just something she projected onto God in order to please him or the people at church. In the end, she recognized the grace of God was real, but that she could no longer serve in a local church. Instead, her calling was elsewhere, in a university setting. But without entering the wilderness, Barbara Brown Taylor says that she would have been burned out and perhaps out of ministry altogether. Her trust in God led her to a new ministry and a greater understanding of God's grace. She needed that time so that she could listen, so that she could turn her sights towards God and not to all of the busyness that she put around him. Friends, we begin the season of Lent at the edge of our own wilderness. And I wonder, as a congregation, in what or whom do we put our trust? Are we trusting in what is comfortable? Or are we trusting in the God who challenges us to put everything in his hands? Are we clinging, content, basking in the glow of the warm light of this community, rather than recognizing there are many people outside of this beautiful place who need to be welcomed in? Are we so focused on what goes on inside these walls that we are domesticated Christians who don't even remember what it's like to roam free in God's wild creation? Are we bound by the words of our past, or do we truly listen to the words of God in Scripture guiding us each day? We have an invitation this Lenten season to go into the wilderness, to seek out new places, to find the good news. We may not need to journey too far to find the gospel that reminds us of God's love and purpose for our lives as individuals and as a faith community. Friends, the gospel is all around us. The good news of God's presence is all around us. And so we must ask ourselves, are we willing to risk our own comfort for the sake of the gospel? Are we willing to walk into some kind of wilderness during this Lenten season for a time of fasting and praying? Are we willing to truly seek the answers to the questions we're asking, Like, how do we grow as a congregation? How can we be the church we've been called to be? How can we work together to build bridges with people whom we have hurt? How do we love each other as our society changes and challenges us to be faithful even in turmoil? What temptations do we face as we seek these answers? Our mission and our ministry together as a congregation and as individuals is worth time in the wilderness. This is the time to lay it on the line and to search our hearts, to risk in faith, and to listen for the voice of God, to bring clarity and courage, affirmation, and hope for us as we work to be the church for this time and this place. To do this, we must listen for the voice of God. We must spend time in the wilderness praying and seeking God's will for our lives, not only for our lives, but for all of those in this community in Rolla who need to know the hope and the grace and the love and the mercy of God. Let's not waste time, but let's venture out. Let's lay our faith on the line and put it in the hands of the one who spoke us all into being. Amen.